I'm Dan Leonard, usually in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, we've got a great show this week. As usual, we've got a great guest, the very talented Noelle Romano from Edge Studio. She's a voice coach, director, producer, and animation expert, and she'll give us some tips on how to improve your chances in those specific genres.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Noelle. Plus, I've got ulterior motives for having her on our show. I'll be sharing with you a Whittam's World production, and this one's going to be about
voiceover booths. Should you DIY build them or buy them prefab?
And I'm going to report on WovoCon, held here in Las Vegas this weekend. World Voices is on the map, and I'm going to tell you why you need to consider joining. That's East West Audio Body Shop. We'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen. And the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Hi, I'm Dan Leonard, back in the East.
I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right.
wake up.
What? TV show, right.
What time did you get up this morning?
Well, I was planning on getting up at about 6:30, you know, Pacific time.
How'd that work out?
Vegas. Well, when my wife texted me at 5:19 a.m. to tell me that she needed to buy a new dryer, I'm like, well, thank you for waking me up at 5:19.
Serves you right for not having your phone on mute while you sleep.
That was actually. Why do you not have it on notification off? You know, I mean, it proceeded to an interesting conversation of okay, you know, what kind of a dryer did you buy? Does it talk? Does it have a dry sense of humor?
Right. Okay.
Which got responsive crickets.
Crickets.
Which is real obvious when you're texting.
Yes.
So anyway, but I was out in L.A. I was out in Las Vegas. They all look the same. It's all
dry
with
fake palm trees.
Yeah, exactly.
What was going on now? You're going to tell us about that today, right?
I'm going to talk about that. You've got some stuff about DIY and prefab isolation booths.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a great guest, a gal who I've worked with, and I know you know really well, from Edge Studios, Noelle Romano.
I didn't know you got to work with Noelle at one point.
She did something with VoiceOver Virtual last summer.
Oh, very cool.
Is that her there hiding in the
background?
I think she
is. She's off camera right now.
Yeah, okay, good.
Nobody can see her except us.
All right.
Hi.
Well, anyway, she's going to come on. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the stuff that she teaches, and I know you got some stuff you want to talk to her about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, you know. We got you all showed up again tonight. What is it with you guys?
I know Noelle's coming from Voice Tracks West, and you know, it's so cool because we've got an engineer at all three ends tonight because Andrew Feliciano runs Voice Tracks is basically running the session from her end, so. She's got it made. She just sits down in the chair, puts on headphones, you know. So she gets to have an easy night, and we get to have an easy night because we know everybody's on the same page. That's a beautiful thing.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, we'll get to Noelle will be with us in just a little bit. We got to do the usual stuff that we got to do because, aside from the great guests, you guys come here because you want to hear what we have to say.
Yeah.
Because when you and I talk shop, for some reason, people seem to keep going, what?
Exactly.
Anyway, so where was that?
What happened in Wovo, man? What's up with WovoCon? Why did they do one? And was it worth the effort to get out there and all that stuff?
Well, I'll tell you. You know, it sounds like I was having fun in Las Vegas. You know, actually, it was one of the best conferences I've ever been to.
And you've been to a lot of them. You've been to the FastCons.
I have been to all of them. Well, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Anyway. It was WovoCon, and it was the first face-to-face conference of World Voices Organization. And we call it, and you call it, because we're all members, we call it WOVO, because it's just easier to remember. Now, all right, now what is WOVO? All right, so some 2 years ago, some of our colleagues and myself decided we needed an industry association for the voiceover business. And we created one. You know, and now what was once five guys taking a risk is now 180 professional voice actors and other professionals, and 50 of them got together to set the course for the future. And you wouldn't believe the future that we have with this organization right now. First off, we got more resources in people and capital to accomplish our mission of being the singular voice for those who speak for a living. You like that? And now we have the tools and the manpower to advocate and influence our industry to create a cleaner marketplace, set standards of technical quality, educate our members on the latest techniques and technology and best practices of a professional voice acting business, and also networking with voice actors all over the world. And I'm talking all over the world. And we have members in Turkey, in Indonesia. We have members in the Philippines. We have members in Australia. We got members in England. We have members in, where else? New Zealand. We have members, they're everywhere. We have members in Israel, and you know, it's all over the place. They all want to be part of this, and we're really, really excited about it. So now that we have these tools and the power to advocate and influence our industry, we also came up with one other thing, and that is a cohesive plan to promote our professional members to potential clients with a new concept website that is actually going to rock our industry. So if you're excited about something like that, you want to learn more, guess what? If you haven't joined World Voices Organization, why haven't you? It gives you a voice. A voice that gets listened to, because we want your input. It networks you with talented colleagues who understand the importance and value of community. You know, and as much fun as you know we have when we get together, what we do with our collective voice and resources is far more valuable. Now, look, we don't want you joining WOVO to come and socialize. We want you to come and help make our industry a better place for everyone. The experienced pro and the talented newcomer. They're everywhere. So go to worldvo.org to learn more and apply. And it was just a fabulous conference. I mean, yeah, we socialized. Yeah, it was a party because we, you know, most of us know each other. But when we got down to business of what we really were there for, the stuff that people were coming up with, the creativity, the suggestions, people volunteering, which is something, you know, when you've got like seven people on a board of directors trying to do everything, and you want to service the membership best you can, and you know, take their opinions and get things done that they want done, we need help. You can't do it all on our own. You know, we now have the resources to hire some professional vendors to do certain things. We're going to redo our website. I mean, we've been doing it all on volunteer stuff, and it's, you know, it. Things don't run perfectly when it's all volunteer. You know, we're all full-time voice actors and technicians and stuff, and that sort of stuff can be a bit of a problem. But it was a lot of fun. It was fun because it was fun to be with people, but it was fun because it was so productive. And, you know, we did a demonstration of all three of the major competitors of online studio-to-studio connections. One of which we're using tonight, which is Source Connect Now. They did a demonstration, and Rebecca Wilson and I had a nice conversation. And then we had Wesley Chin from Soundstreak on, and he was talking from a cabin somewhere. Perfect picture. We had him up on the screen. He was able to talk to us. We were able to talk to him. And Kevin from IPDTL, IPDTL, also joined us from England. He stayed up till midnight to join us. Even though it was like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Las Vegas. And it was just a great conference. We learned a lot. We worked together. We really talked about what it means to be a community. So, you know, and I'm not going to drop some of the names that were there. Pat Fraley and Larry Davis and a few other people. It was great. And I wish you were there. But
I wish I was there too. I was just in Vegas. Everybody knows I was just in Vegas like 2 weeks before for the NAB show. And there's so much going on up there. I mean, I wish I had like a frequent flyer miles enough to like bop back and forth to Vegas. Yeah. A couple more years of flying to New York. Maybe I'll build up some of that action.
Right. And a car that could make it over the mountains and through the desert back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, mine's
got
199,480 miles.
It's just worked in.
Yeah, it's just breaking in. But, I'm glad you had a good time there, and it really does seem like an organization whose time has come, and, you know, it's very much grassroots. And people that are in it know, but what does it take to get in, and what does it cost to join? Do you have to be vetted somehow to join?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You've got to be a professional. You've got to prove, that you are a working paid professional.
Yeah.
We have some standards. It's explained on the application, and it's $25 application fee and $49 a year. But the benefits, you know, especially with this new website and when it's developed, the concept really came together so well with everybody's input. We're going to be able to really help promote our members to the buying public in a way that they're going to it's really going to shake up the industry. So
cool.
If you want to find out more, join up and ask.
All right.
You know, it's like, you know, like President Kennedy said, you know, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for WOVO. We really need your help. It's a member driven organization. And this weekend was just such excellent proof of all that. And
awesome.
and I want to thank Dustin Ebar, our president, and our good friend Dave Quavassier, our vice president, and this amazing committee. They put this thing together in like 3.5 months, and it was perfect. Great hotel, great facilities. You know, and it was a lot of fun. And then we went to the Mirage last night, and
nice.
Yeah, and somebody was playing the penny slots, and the rest of us were, you know, throw a 20 in there, that's gone. And she's like, ding 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 ding. Oh, let me try this machine. Ding 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 ding. Oh, let's try this one. Ding 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 ding.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was like we're all like.
Did she get escorted out of there in about 5 minutes?
No. I mean, she wasn't winning millions. She was playing the penny slots after all. But
I won like $130 on a penny slot once. I mean, on one penny.
On
one penny. And
impressive.
I was thinking, oh man, if that was $100, I mean, if I put a dollar in instead of a penny, can you imagine what I could have gone from treating everybody to lunch to treating everybody to, you know, a trip to Hawaii. Oh, well, that's gambling for you, and that's why I don't do it.
And that's why it's called gambling.
Yeah.
And we also went to see Love, the Cirque du Soleil show at the Mirage, which was excellent.
Very cool.
It was great. So aside from great business, we had great fun, and that's the most important thing, because doing the right thing is also fun.
Why not?
So we've got Noella Romano joining us in just a little bit. You're going to talk to us about prefab booths, and now you're going to talk to us about Edge.
Actually, I was after the break, unless we're looking at two different rundowns, but
it might be that
I was gonna go into...
we're gonna run the Home Studio Masters, but gotta realize I was as I told you, I was up very early this morning, and I'm trying to catch up here.
You're doing okay.
All right, but I will say one other thing. You can watch a movie on the way back on a plane, or you can like watch TV if you're on Southwest or on JetBlue, one of those guys that have a TV on there. The best entertainment is the Purple Mountain Majesties and the fruited plain. It's just, this is a beautiful country and just amazing scenery. And then the clouds up and then the clouds come and you go, I'm taking that.
Must be home. The clouds are coming. Must be close to home.
That's right. Yeah. And it was kind of cloudy when I got back. Anyway, let's go to the break. We'll be right back with George's world in just a minute.
All right.
Hey, honey, I bought you a new suit.
Oh, no. What fancy function is it now with all those hoity-toity people?
What are they?
But, dear, it's...
Is this for your work? Please don't tell me I have to sit with your BB again. Boring boss. If I have to, I...
No, it's not that...
Wait, is your sister getting married again? This is like her fourth or fifth time, poor guy. Somebody should warn him about...
Would you just listen?
I'd take any of these over the theater. Please don't make me go to another one of those over-the-top musicals you love so much. They just...
Okay, fine. I'll send it back. I think Dan has a return policy for his studio suits. I'm sure the UPS guy is still outside and
what?
He'll take it
Dan?
Back.
Studio suit? Wait, honey. I didn't mean any of it. I love getting dressed up with you. Your boss is fascinating. Your sister is a catch. Honey, baby. Cats. That's it. Let's go see Cats again. That was my favorite one.
And we're back. And I'm a little bit more awake. That was interesting.
What's the latest with Studio Suit?
The latest with Studio Suit?
Yeah, you still making those things?
Well, I have a bunch of it, and if you want it, I've got it, and I'll ship it to you. And and it works, and that's the most important thing. You know, it's sort of like a Mac. You know, you sort of hang it up, and it works.
pretty much. I have to agree with that.
I'm glad you agree. Yeah. It's if you want it, it's there.
There you go.
VOstudiosuit.com.
All right. Well, I've got a Widom's World this week. This one's kind of related to that in a way, but this is really more about isolation. And it's, should you build an isolation booth from scratch using some plans or your own ingenuity, or should you go prefab? So let's run this real quick, and we'll have a little discussion after the package.
Ladies and gentlemen, George Widom.
Hey, this is George Widom. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Widom's World. I've kind of been off my regular schedule for the last month between traveling, being really busy, and being sick, which I'm almost not sick anymore, but still a little sick. I've kind of fallen behind, so I apologize. Here I am. I'm back, and I'm ready to tackle the questions again. This week's question came in from Timothy McKean. And it's a great one, and I'm definitely happy he sent it in because it's something I actually wanted to talk about. Timothy asks, I have a question about vocal booths. I'm an audiobook narrator and need to add a vocal booth to my home studio setup. I've learned a lot from you about acoustic treatment, and my studio sounds great, but only after everyone else goes to bed and the house is quiet. Unfortunately, I have a very tight budget of $1,500 to $2,000, I'm assuming U.S. dollars. For my vocal booth. I know that vocalbooth.com, Whisper Room, and Studio Bricks are the top of the line, but they really start out around $4,000. I purchased some plans to build my own booth from dawbox.com, but I'm getting nervous about the task of building my own booth. What are your thoughts or suggestions on building or buying vocal booths? Great question. I will be happy to give you my 2 cents on that topic. The brands you mentioned are all some of the usual suspects in the world of isolation booths that are prefabricated, meaning that they come broken down, sort of like, well, imagine ordering a piece of IKEA furniture, broken down in a cardboard box. It comes, all the pieces are in there, and there's instructions, and you assemble it. Now, this is like a really big, really heavy piece of IKEA furniture, but it's the same basic idea. So I think one major criteria that you might consider between going the do-it-yourself or the prefab is, one, resale value. Do you feel that this is going to be a long-term solution that you're going to be keeping and using for many years to come? If so, who cares about resale value? You're going to make the money back that you spent building the booth, and not a big deal because you'll make the money back again. So don't worry about the resale value in that case. However, if you might have to move soon, your living situation might change, you're in a rental, you're not even owning, you don't own your space, then in those cases, I heavily lean towards the prefab solution because of the aforementioned resale value. You can take that thing later, put it on Craigslist, and get back a big chunk of what you paid for it. And that takes me to number two. Did you consider buying one used? Now, depending on where you're located, It may be kind of hard to find one used. If you're in a major metropolitan area like Los Angeles, that's not so hard to find one used. But in other parts of the country, it might be a lot harder. If you do find one used, again, resale value. These things, once you buy one used, don't really lose value. So you could buy a used Whisper Room 3.5 by 5 foot booth for maybe $3,000. And then, you know, in a year or two or three, it's still probably going to be worth $3,000. Not a bad investment. You can flip it around later if you need to. Downsize, upsize, move, who knows what your situation might be. So that's another consideration to think about. The third thing that you want to consider is time. Do you have the time to build a booth? Time can be a real factor. A, do you have the lead time? Do you have a project coming that you need to have the booth ready for so that you can start that project? Or are you midst project right now? You know, you said you're an audiobook narrator. Are you pounding out a book a month? Are you missing jobs because you don't have this booth? You know, these are things you have to ask yourself. So if time is of the essence, do not build your own booth. This Dawbox booth is going to take you considerable amount of time to build, especially build it correctly. It's going to take several weekends unless you get all your builder buddies together that have all the tools and you have everything you need. And then maybe with absolute diligence, you could have one built in 1 weekend. But everybody I know that's built one of these, it's taken them far longer than they ever expected. And, you know, sometimes on the order of months, if you're only being able to do it a few hours each weekend. So keep that in mind. Time is going to be of the essence in some cases. So don't go the build it yourself. If you can get a Whisper Room locally used, that's obviously very quick. Even if you buy a Whisper Room or a vocal booth, you're going to be able to get one shipped to you usually within a week to 2 weeks from the date that you order it. The only real exception I would say would be Studio Bricks, which are shipped from overseas, so you might be talking 1 to 2 months wait time. So that one kind of breaks the mold there a little bit. Number four criteria would be is how good are you at building stuff? And if you're not good at building stuff, do you have really close friends that owe you something that are going to help you build this? Because it is quite a project. And the Dawbox plans, I'm not going to disparage them because I don't think I could do any better because I'm not a good technical drawer and I don't know how to be an architect. I couldn't probably design great plans. But what I will say is that they are not the best plans. And so you end up having to improvise a lot. There's a lot of things where you have to fill in the blank and they kind of leave certain details out that are really important that if you do it wrong, you'll have to redo those steps in the process again. So again, wasting a huge amount of time. And it takes a lot of space to build it. It's dirty, it's noisy, you know, all those things you have to consider. So again, it may not be the best solution for you if those factors are going to be a problem. Five comes down to acoustical treatment. None of these booths have great acoustical treatment. They pretty much all come with a layer of 2-inch thick acoustic foam that cover part of the walls or all of the walls, and that's pretty much it. The Dawbox, they're going to tell you to just, you guys go buy some foam. If you do it yourself, you can then buy the best acoustical treatment that you can afford and put the right, what I consider to be the best acoustic treatment around, which are panels made out of UltraTouch denim or a Roxul AFB. And if you get panels made with those, such as one company makes them called ATSacoustics.com, you'll be able to tune the booth beautifully. But some of these booths they have the foam pre-glued to the walls, like the Vocal Booth brand. So that ends up getting in the way and making it more challenging to then properly acoustically tune the booth later. Other booths, the Studio Bricks, the Whisper Room, they don't have the foam pre-attached, so you have the ability to put the proper acoustic treatment in from the get-go. But I'll say again, none of the companies I'm talking about here, none of them have adequate acoustical treatment out of the box. They all need to have it supplemented. So, you know, keep that in mind. No matter what one you go with, you're going to have issues there. Those are the things you're going to want to think about. Consider all options and consider all of those different topics so that you can make the best decision for your situation. And I hope you did find that to be helpful. So again, if you want to submit your question to the show, I'd be happy to answer it. You can send it to widomsworld@edgestudio.com. And if you'd like one-on-one consulting or have your question answered in a private forum or schedule time, or, you know, get your situation dealt with in a timely fashion, you definitely want to book time with me, and you're going to go do that over on vostudiotech.com, and I've got all sorts of different ways that we can work together over there. So thanks again for the question. Thanks for watching, everybody. Please subscribe and click like down below if you liked the video today, and leave comments. I tune in from time to time and check comments and answer questions. All right. Have a great one, everybody. Till next time. I'm George Widom from Widom's World. Yeah. So, you know, if you do get a booth, whether you build it or you buy it, you know, you're going to have to acoustically treat it correctly. And I went over a few things in the video, but, you know, as we talked about before the break, the VO Studio Suite product that Dan's making makes it really easy to treat a small or even a large space, but it's very cost effective. You can just hang the stuff up really quickly. Dan's trimming them out by hand right now.
I do it by hand when he's, with my very own scissors.
Exactly. But it's very effective and it works quite nicely. But, you know, there's, you know, it really comes down to what the way you want it to look, how you want it to feel when you're in there. You know, all these things come together. But, you know, and there's I'll give another plug to a local LA guy named Scott Peterson. He makes really well built isolation booths that they're custom made, but they're interesting because they are still collapsible. They can be removed. They can be taken apart and they can be transported. It's hard to use the word portable. You remember portable TVs?
Oh yeah.
A 25-inch TV with a glass tube that had a handle on the top. Weighed 80 pounds.
Yep.
You know, to say these booths are portable is, you know, but they can be disassembled, taken down, and moved to another house, which most things that you make yourself can't do that. So these booths are pretty cool. So Scott Peterson, he's on Facebook. If you ever want to look him up, he makes a pretty nice booth, and you have to be in the SoCal, greater SoCal area right now. He hasn't figured out logistics for interstate transport yet, but he may someday. But anyway, if you're local, check his stuff out. Pretty nice.
Yep, absolutely. And the most important thing is 90% of the quality of your audio is dependent on the acoustical signature of the room you're in.
Oh, totally.
And, I mean, it's important to keep the noise out, but you don't want what you're making bouncing around all over the place.
Yep. Yep. So, two problems to solve. Isolation. Absolutely. And oftentimes, and the better the isolation, the worse the acoustics, because it's so airtight. And it's so, you know, the surfaces are so hard because they're so strong that the acoustic treatment has to be even better. So it's interesting kind of how the two kind of work against each other, and it takes a lot of effort to get them dialed in.
Yep. Well, we've got somebody sitting in a real professional studio in just a couple of minutes. Noel Romano from Edge Studios will be joining us right after this incredible message. George?
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Don't touch that dial. Seriously, stay with us, please. Dan and George will be right back. Don't touch that dial. Seriously, stay with us, please. Dan and George will be right back.
I love it when I forget to make it not loop. Why does the software insist on making every file loop?
You would think it's like a cart machine. Get to the queue and stop.
Yes.
There.
I mean, we invented carts in the 50s? I don't know, the 60s? Give me a break. All right. Rant over.
Okay. Let's rant about something worthwhile here.
Yes. Let's bring our lovely guest on, who's been waiting patiently for the last 30 minutes while we rant on here. Noelle.
Hello.
You are now on camera. We can hear you. We can see you.
Hello. Thank you, gentlemen. Very happy to be here. Thank you, EWABS. Am I pronouncing it correctly? EWABS?
Well, if you're in Toronto, you apparently they pronounce it EWABS.
EWABS. Yeah, let's call the whole thing off.
Yes, yeah. EWABS. EWABS. Cool. That's right. EWABS. Anyway, you're over there at VoiceTracks West, and you were coaching for Edge Studios. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into voiceover and into coaching.
Sure. Yeah. So I originally went to school for acting. I originally went to Tisch School of the Arts, NYU, and I graduated and I was scared to death. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Because you don't learn the business side of things, you know? So then after jumping around, I wound up getting into the world of production. The first job I ever had in production was on the show Blue's Clues, which was... Yeah, that was a ton of fun. And that also gave me my first experience in the booth, because at the time it was a fantastic production to work on. It was like a family. Whenever they had a small little voiceover part, they would open it up to staff and we could all audition. And I auditioned and I got to play a talking mailbox with a Brooklyn accent, which was awesome.
Cool.
So it was, you know,
remembered that. Not that
you
I was
do not
watching. But,
you know,
I do.
Oh, liar. But yeah, so I got to play a little talking voice mailbox. And then the two sides just sort of paralleled. I kept sort of climbing the ladder in production. I went on to do coordinating. Then I went on to work for a company called Animation Collective, and I was the head of the voiceover department. And I was like pulling my hair out. It was great, great experience, but I had to manage the audio records and talent for about 8 or 9 shows that were in production at one time. So I was just scheduling those records, scheduling talent, auditioning new talent, directing talent. Where did that come from? Managing audio, et cetera. And I just kept moving on. And then I kept getting pulled into the booth as well. And then I went on to do voice directing for a show called Word World. And also wound up doing, I think it's called, I should know this, the narration for the blind for all of our Word World episodes. So if you turn on the blind narration, I think it's called DVR. I wound up doing all of that for our properties. I'm distracted by the chat room. People are like noticing haircut.
Don't
oh my gosh, I'm ignoring
room.
That.
No,
my
don't
haircut.
Chat room.
I won't do that. But anyway, so
abort.
Haircut. I'm like, how's my hair look? Oh my gosh. So anyway, yeah. So I in the middle of all that. Oh, you know, I was doing a lot in New York. This was all in New York City. I was very busy, as people tend to be in New York City. I was doing that. I also was doing comedy. I was doing stand-up comedy and sketch comedy at night. And then to make myself busier, I was like, you know, it'd be really cool to coach people on how to do voiceover, because people started kind of coming to me organically, like, oh, I hear you're in this field. How do I get into it? And it was very serendipitous. An actress from one of the shows that Animation Collective did emailed me, or emailed a bunch of people, and said, oh, Edge Studio needs coaches. And I was like, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And I went up to the studio in Connecticut, which is the only time I've been there, and I interviewed. And it was great. It was wonderful. So it was like the perfect complement to all of the other million things I was doing. I would do it a little part-time. And so I just added coaching to the list of sort of being in the production side, being a talent, and now I was a coach. And it's awesome. I just love coaching because it allows me to use both sides of my experience to help my students. And Edge is just a wonderful family to be a part of. So that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Well,
I have to agree with that.
Nutshell.
I've been pretty happy with the Edge family. So yeah, I have to agree with that.
Absolutely. So
it's good to be part of a family.
It is.
Now you coach in a very special area, which is obviously very important. I know it's important to George. He'll ask you about that. But you specialize in coaching children. Now, how did that come about?
Well, since most of my production experience was in the preschool animation world, it sort of was naturally born out of that. When I was working on the show Word World, one of the most challenging parts of my job is, in addition to our adult cast who were talking to our home viewer who was 3 to 5 years old, I had to find large groups of 3 to 5 year olds, not necessarily professional voice talent. And I had to bring them on for every episode to say things like cup, dog, and just imagine that age range, having to get that huge group of kids in a room in unison, pronouncing the word properly, all of that. So, you know, I did wind up working with a lot of kids in that field. I also was doing freelance directing as well for Nick Jr. Online. So I had the pleasure of directing most of the kids' talent for the kid talent on the Backyardigans for one of the interactive games that they did. I actually got to voice direct the original Dora for, I think it was a ride-on toy. And at the time, I was expecting a little girl to walk in, and instead the 16-year-old, fully grown adult walked in because she was still doing the voice. So I was always directing and coaching kids for these various projects, and I was in that world. And then, of course, I sort of became the specialist for Edge. So I started, teaching whenever they had a kid voice actor or a parent who wanted to know, how do I get my kid into that? I was that go-to person. So I do teach people of all ages, but that does tend to be my specialty when someone has a small kid and wants to know, can I get them into voiceover?
Right. Well, what do you think is the appropriate age to start a child with a coach?
Well, I would say take it off of them. It really, really depends on that kid. They have to be loving it, as I've heard so many things about, George's little girl, how she just loves kind of being in the spotlight. And that is the kind of personality you need, So if the kids are just naturally inclined, I say the kid has to sort of decide it. In a way, when they're very, very young, some of that rawness and charm that little kid voices have, you don't want to coach them away from that. So it's about capturing that, but getting them just used to following direction and focusing and not moving their head off mic and little stuff like that. So if they are wanting to do it, I would say it's, never really too early. It really depends on the personality of that kid.
Mm, yeah. So to start them off, you would just, let's say, for example, if yes. I was going to bring Ella in to have a coaching session with you, would you start off with just sort of like an introductory coaching session where you would just kind of get a feel for her to see if she does have the attention span, if she, if she does have those skills, because the kid can be gregarious and charming and whatever, but be a total mess, just all over the room. So is that kind of how it starts out when you start a new student?
Yeah, you're kind of testing their focus, and it is amazing how even young kids are just sometimes so fascinated by the process that they can focus, So a lot, of course, when they're that young, they're not reading scripts yet.
Right.
So a lot of it is parroting. A lot of it is, okay, now say, in a happy way, but I want to go outside. And now say in a mad way, but I want to go outside, that kind of thing. Just kind of getting them to understand the differences in emotion and testing their ear, because some kids just naturally have an ear for that. And a lot of it at that age is just mimicry. They are just, as long as they can follow that and pick up on it, and then you can capture that purity of their cute voice, that's what's important, So that is what you're pretty much testing out at that age.
Yeah, obviously, Ella has the advantage of having a dad who loves to record is in the industry, but still, it's really going to come down to her desire. And as I heard through one of our friends and coworkers at Edge, Ashley, told me, we were talking about the possibility of Ella seeing her agent. And
oh,
he was
awesome.
He was like, well,
I can't even get to see an agent. You'll get your kid into an agent already.
He basically said, is she competitive yet? When she's competitive, come to see me. And then Ashley was like, well, we need to get her competitive.
Yeah.
What does that mean? can you sum up in a half hour what it means to be competitive as a kid?
A child?
Does it mean literally the kid has to have that I win, I want to be first? Or is it just that they have preparation that they need in coaching, that kind of thing?
From a performance aspect, I think it really does come down to being able to take direction. I don't think, I mean, you might have a kid who's like, I'm ambitious and here's my philo facts and I doubt it. And you know, at that age, that'd be a little bit scary, you know, but I think it's, and philo facts, do those exist anymore? Or
actually,
do they just age myself, right? I don't know.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's like an accordion, but anyway, I think it comes down to how the innate acting ability and how well that kid is able to take direction, because you'd be, or maybe you won't be surprised. I mean, I was always blown away by the kid talent that I was directing. You know, I'd be like, oh, actually, you know, say it more like you're trying to, you know, teach your little brother a lesson, or say it more like you're a little annoyed, you don't want to do your homework. And they really got it, you know.
Wow.
So it's about kind of coaching them in the scenarios that make sense for them.
In a context that they can understand.
Yeah, in that context, in that world that they understand. And giving that, you know, even if you're not giving a line reading, which, yes, with an age group that's young, sometimes you are, just consistency. Are they able to recreate what you want them to? Like, did they just give you a perfect take, but they bang the mic, and now you want them to do it again and say, oh, listen how you did it. Here, I'm going to play it back. Do it just like that. Are they able to recreate that, right? That ability, that level of consistency, that is what I would say would make them competitive, that they actually, you really can work with them, you know, as part of that process where everything has to get done yesterday. You know, it's not the time to sort of, no pun intended, but treat a kid with kid gloves where you have to train them on the job. You know, it's really that they just get it and they're sharp and they take that direction. And most of all, that they're enjoying it. Like, nobody wants to be dragging the kid through the mud. I mean, I've been in sessions where it's like, somebody get this kid a Pepsi, you know, and that's not exactly healthy. You know, give this kid a big soda.
Yeah, right.
Bloomberg
right.
is outlawed or whatever, you know. So it really does come down to, do they seem to be enjoying it? Are they understanding it? Do they love acting? I think that's, you know, all of those components.
I've been putting a mic in front of her. I've done it a few times. And we just do the call. What do you call it? The reparroting? We just parrot books. And we've done like three books. And it's a blast. I mean, it is a lot of fun. And to watch her each time, and I've only done it like three times in the last year, but each time she has more attention span. And the last time I did it, she was in that seat next to me for a solid half hour. And yeah, I had to get her to stop slouching a few times and whatever. But once I got her to not touch the mic but she loved, and I know this is a coaching thing. Don't listen to yourself. Don't fall in love with your voice. But she really loved hearing her own voice. Like, the second she sat in front of the mic, she wanted to grab the headphones and hear the way she sounded.
How old is she?
She did all that when she was four. She's five now.
Oh yeah. To have her sit still and do that for a half an hour at four.
Yeah.
I would say that's great focus for that age.
And of course, again, it helps that it's daddy here with her and it's fascinating and the tech, you know, this stuff is, luckily she does find it fascinating. So I think that's probably going to help, right?
Right. It's natural. It's in her environment, right? That is a part of her natural environment. So that's great.
Well, you know, we were talking about the whole agent thing. I mean, of course, agents help actors on all levels. But I mean, how important is a child actor? I mean, just doing voiceover, how important really is it for them to have an agent at all? Do you think? I mean, in your world.
I think it is important. I mean, they're going to get you access to those bigger jobs and those recognizable brands that would otherwise be a little bit trickier to get to, you know. And it's, you know, that's the thing, is when a kid is that special and they're that focused and they are that competitive, I think it is rare enough that they don't have as much competition as us adults do, you know. And so I do think that you're sort of making the agent's job easier and the client's job easier if it truly is a kid that, you know, can work that professionally, you know. So I think it is important to get those bigger name jobs. Otherwise, so much of it would be on the parent to try to be doing direct marketing. And that's just a lot. That's very time consuming and a lot of work. So getting kid into a good agent.
I have a job. My wife's got a job. She's a photographer. You know, it's like,
you know. Yeah, from everything I heard, George, I don't think you have a lot of free time on your hands. So,
honestly, that's probably the thing that worries me the absolute most is not whether Ella or the child has the interest. It's whether the parents can keep up with the demands of the schedule, or that, I think, really is probably what concerns me the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I guess it's kind of up to the parent how much the child works. But, you know, once you have an agent, they kind of expect you to keep up with the auditions. Otherwise, if you're slacking and flaking, they're not going to want to keep sending you auditions, probably.
Yeah.
So, you know, it
makes sense.
A typical kid that I'm sure you've got a couple success stories. You know, are they working one job a week, five?
I'm like sitting there going, can I name names?
Maybe
I
not.
Won't,
you don't have
I
to name a name, but
I
you
won't
could
name
say
names.
You could
but,
name a campaign or maybe a product or something. Maybe
well,
something that kids
I know
work
a little
on.
Little girl recently who had she had come through Edge and she was already acting, and that's the way sometimes it happens for kids is that they're already acting and then they'll just start getting voiceover auditions. Well, her mother is the perfect stage mother in that she's not a stage mother at all. She like carts her kid around. She trains her. The minute she started getting voiceover auditions, she called up Edge and she found me and she was like, I got to get my daughter in with Noelle. And, you know, and so she started making her take voiceover lessons with me because she said, you know, even though she's a good little actress, she doesn't exactly know what she's doing for a voiceover audition. So the first thing I coached her on she went on to do, I think it was not a main role, but it was a recurring on, Doc McStuffins. So, so she did wind up booking, pretty quickly after that. Yeah. So of course her mother was like, yay, I'm like, all right, I can't take all the credit. I mean, she's a good little actress.
Yeah.
And then, since then, her on-camera career has taken off, but she did other things too for, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think she booked it, but I know she had a call back for some major brand commercials and things like that. But, it really ranges because some of the kids that I've coached are just brand spanking new to this,
Yeah.
So they're just getting
in.
It's
going to be a longer
journey.
It
is a longer journey, But I would say she's a pretty good success story, but she is one of those kids who are just amazing little actresses, and she is able to get that direction. And I direct her the way I would an adult. I mean, really, it doesn't even feel like I'm teaching a kid,
Wow. And how old is she approximately?
She was 10 when she first. So I think she was 10 or I think she was 10 years old, but she sounds and looks younger.
Gotcha. Okay. She played younger. Right.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, we got some chat room questions queuing up. I don't want to hog Noelle to myself because I can talk to her. I can talk to Noelle anytime, right? But
she's not far from you.
Yes, we're not far away. We're under the same
umbrella. I'm in Studio City. You're
but
in Santa
this
Monica.
This is fascinating to me. But yeah, there's some Q&A. I don't know, Dan. Do you have anything else before we go into
you don't just coach children though.
Oh no, I would say actually the bulk of my students are adults.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, from all ages. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take a little break and we'll get back to your questions from our very involved audience, and we'll get to those in just a minute. So right here.
I'm just going to do a live spot.
Go for it.
We're going to talk about, of all things, Edge is our key sponsor these days, and right now we've got David Goldberg, who's the head of the company. We call him the CEO. Or the chief edge officer. I think that's actually the title he came up with. But he does coach and mentor innumerable voice actors from beginners to top working pros and celebrities. And he's widely recognized as one of the industry's most knowledgeable, practical, and hands-on experts. And he is offering workshops in a city near you. He's kind of wrapping up a tour. He's got a couple cities left. But he's doing a what's and a, kind of a what's what and a why of the voiceover industry. And why not to believe everything you read? So fill in your knowledge gaps, learn the trends, and jump levels ahead in your VO business as David distills two decades of experience and looks to the future. His next stops are Chicago and Las Vegas and Los Angeles. He'll be in L.A. His next stop on the tour is actually L.A. This coming weekend, May 9th and 10th. So if you want more information about that, bop over to edgestudio.com. And for my own personal plug, we're doing a month-long promotion for my virtual engineering Twisted Wave stacks. So if you use Twisted Wave and you like to use it to bang out auditions, or you're using it for jobs and you want to send out an audio quality that maybe sounds a little bit more ready for air, something a little more competitive, this is a great way to get there. And normally they're $75 each, and we're going to sell them for half off, $37.50, for the entire month of May. So just use coupon code TWSTACKMAY14 at the checkout, and you can rack up a couple of those for use at your leisure. We're going to let you use them whenever you need them. So that's my plug. So right. Let's get back to questions from the chat room.
Yes, and we'll start off with the amazing Lee Pinney, who asks, do you teach Skype sessions, Noelle?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I teach Skype sessions. So, you know, it's not just in-person stuff here in Los Angeles. I'm teaching students sometimes in England, Canada, Japan, you know. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no more. That's probably one of the most fun things about coaching and teaching dealing with people from all over the place.
It's awesome.
Right. They're very like cool. In awe of you. You're in America.
What?
J.S. Gilbert asks, what percentage of the work is going out to actual kids as opposed to adults doing kids' voices? You sort of touched on that earlier.
That is a great question. And I always say, like, whenever people ask me percentage questions, man, I suck at math, so I'm really bad at giving it. But what I will say is this. It really depends on the style of the show. In preschool animation, if it's supposed to be a kid or an animal or something that sounds like a kid, more often than not, in that preschool world, it is going to be a real kid. I would say that you find more of the adults sounding like kids in other properties are just a little bit older. Did I hear somebody's cell phone or something?
No, I know what it is. Dan never misses a client. Never misses a client.
So I would say on those younger properties that actually are for that preschool audience, they really do want to reflect them. So they like to use actual kid voices. And I know, you know, a lot of my friends that I'm still in touch with from Blue's Clues who have gone on to other properties, there's just something about the authenticity of that kid voice that you cannot match. I think funnier properties, things that are a little bit more for, you know, adults, or maybe I would even say like 7 to 14 and above, then I think you're more, then you're more prone to having characters that are supposed to be little kids and they would use an adult, you know? So I think it's like, okay, is most of your staff or your cast, a cast of kids, or is it a cast of adults? And then you'd find that adult actor or actress who can do that younger kid voice. So,
and obviously if it's an episodic, like The Simpsons or something, you have to use adults. The voice has to be consistent year after year, right?
Right. And that is a really, really big problem with kid properties when you are using kid voices is that they get older, you know, they grow out of that voice, especially, and sometimes the girls can push it like Dora did, you know, but the boys, you know, that's harder for them, you know, their voice will change dramatically in like a year, you know,
Let's see here. Okay. Does experience as a child voice actor, say 3 to 5 years old, God willing for Ella, translate to work as an adolescent and then as an adult?
I would say so. I mean, I can't say for certain, but obviously if you already have that experience and you are comfortable in front of the mic, you're already a working voice talent, you know, so you already have that leg up and that experience. And you're hopefully just growing and changing and still maintaining that acting talent as your voice grows and changes, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think it's certainly helpful, but if they're asking, you know, does that mean, you know, oh, I shouldn't start and I'm, you know, 34 or something? No, well, obviously it is such a specific skill set. Everybody has a different background, but sure, I think it could help for sure.
Well, I mean, once you learn how to act, it's a skill you can keep for life, obviously.
Exactly, sure. Exactly, yeah.
Let's see here. JS has another question. Do you advocate that children get rounded educations, including
scene study,
singing, dancing, and so forth?
That's a very good question. I've only sort of dealt with them in the voiceover capacity, and I would say most of the kids that I've encountered are kind of doing all that stuff because they are drawn to it. So I think it's typically kids who get into it are all probably coming from, you know, maybe acting in a play or doing some of the on-camera stuff. So they already are doing that. I think it's a little bit rare, I mean, to know kids who are just strictly voice actors at that age for whatever reason. I think it becomes more specialized as we get older, you know, and then we say, I don't want people looking at me. I want to make money in my closet. You know, that sounds weird, but, you know, as adults, that's the choices we make.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know. Did I answer your question? I don't think it's...
It makes sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I would bombard a kid with all acting all the time, because you still want them to have the chance to be a normal kid. So it's like, make sure you get soccer in there and make sure you get downtime and playtime in there so that they still can maintain the life of a normal kid. But yeah, if they're loving that and they want those dance classes and stuff, you know, absolutely, that's great. Again, I think it comes down to the kid, you know, and what their personality is like.
Yeah. The real Amy E. Fisher asks, should you choose a coach, and I guess it's probably more relating to adults as well, should you choose a coach who is close in vocal style and genre as your own voice? It's an interesting question.
You know, yeah, I think that's a very smart question. I think that that can definitely help because then there are certain things that I can really speak to, you know, if, you know, when I've taught students who were kind of close to who I was, you know, to who I am style-wise, I might understand certain struggles and be able to empathize, you know, in a better way with them. I don't think it's totally necessary, but I think that can help. I think ultimately when you're training, you definitely want to get a lot of different perspectives, you know, and you're going to find some teachers that you really click with and, you know, some you don't, you know. But I do think that when you're putting yourself out there, I think you should just try a lot of different teachers, coaches, because everybody has a different way that they learn. And, you know, that coach might teach in just the way you need to be taught.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would say about that.
All righty. John Gafina says or asks, is the bulk of the work for kids only ISDN or alternative, or somehow other directed sessions, or, you know, I mean, I think what they're asking is
people that aren't in LA, I guess. That's what you're probably asking.
I would say, and, you know, there might be other examples of this, but for kids, you typically want to have them in the room more. So you want to have eyes on them. You want to be able to direct them in that way. Once they're cast on something and the ball starts rolling, it's possible that you might here and there need to do an ISDN session and they're already on the show. They already know their role. But for the most part, at least in the bulk of my experience with kid talent, it was always done in person. And I would say even, you know, the bulk of animation, especially in Los Angeles, I think is still on those more recognizable properties is done in person.
Yeah.
For the most part.
And I'll tell you something, never direct your own kids. having done a lot of that, and you know, it's like, you know, you can tell me to do this and you can tell me to do that, but I'm not going to listen to you now.
Of course not.
But you're making money now. I don't care.
One last one, and this might be too long, but we want to let you go. But this comes from Love That Rebecca. I think she posted this on Facebook before the show.
Yes, Rebecca Michaels.
How much do you audition for roles versus offer them to known actors? How much room is there for new talent?
Talent.
And do you only get auditions from agents or also from online sites like Voice123. So that's a lot of parts to that question. You can kind of wrap that up quickly if you want, but
sure. And was she asking from my production and casting experience, how often did we just offer them? I would say that, when we were trying to cast that new character, there were a lot of different people in that room with ideas of how that character should sound. So even if there was a trusted actor, we still wanted to hear different interpretations of it, because more often than not, people don't really know what they want in that role until they hear it. So that was the bulk of the stuff that I did, in New York. I would say, we were always still auditioning people. But that said, sometimes even with those trusted actors, no one in the room was happy. I have seen roles go to newer talent who had a unique quality to their voice. So it really depends in what region. My experience is that it is harder to penetrate that LA bubble because the competition is so fierce and the animation world is even bigger than in New York when I was working in production. But it's just about being persistent and just about kind of keeping at it and just constantly training and getting better and better and better, I would think there would still mostly be auditions because people just love choices, producers, and they love to have choices. And unless they have a celebrity attached, I would say they'd want to hear at least a few different interpretations of a role before casting it.
Absolutely.
Great answer.
Well, we know you got other stuff going on. You're over at Voice Tracks West right now because you're teaching classes, right?
I am. I had a student before this, and I have a student after this.
Yeah.
So and you have a frozen dinner waiting.
And
for
I have a date with a lean cuisine in between it. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to keep you from that.
That's right.
But thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And enlightening us about kids. I mean, it's an important area of our business, and we all got them. Well, most of us have them.
Absolutely. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
We had a blast. Thanks again.
Yeah.
Thanks.
All righty. Well, we'll take a little break here. Yeah. Well, then we'll go hear from our friends at VoiceOver Extra and be right back after this. VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
So what else are you planning on doing tonight? I thought so. Now back to East West Audio Body Shop with Dan and George.
All right. Yeah, you had to have your finger on that. Turn that thing on.
When you hung up on Noel, you understand. Everything on this show is a delicate balance. And when you do one little thing, it seems so innocuous, like hang up the Skype call. Everything goes to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
No, we're cool.
Well, yes. Next week, by the way, we have a great guest coming on, and he is our all-time long sponsor from day one.
That's right.
Harlan Hogan. He's got some cool stuff he's going to show us next week. But we got to tell you about VoiceOver Essentials. And you've been listening to us talk about them 141. Here's 142.
Mm-hmm.
Go over to voiceoveressentials.com because it's easy. Great customer service. He's got great selection of stuff that is made just for you in the voiceover business. This little tiny niche market that we are, Harlan services it, and he services it the best because he's one of us. He's a voice actor.
You know, I have to say, I mean, like, being someone that's tried to attempt what he's doing in regards to trying to start a web store for voiceover, it's really hard because it is such a niche market. And, you know, there's so many stores out there that broadcast, you know, they obviously focus on music or DJing or radio. And, you know, I've tried to get something like this going. It's very difficult. And I give Harlan a huge amount of props for what he's put together with this store. I mean, it's a mixture of product that he's developed himself or in some way had his hand in, including the VO1A microphone.
somebody said it's out of the picture for some reason.
It is in the picture now.
Okay.
It's really a hand curated list of equipment, but it's going to be fun having him on because he's also going to have, I believe, a sneak preview of the new
Mixer Face from Sentrance. Yes.
Yeah,
which we've been talking about.
Yeah. They are kind of neighbors up there in the Chicago
land area.
Suburbs. Yeah, they're pretty close to each other. So they've been in cohorts a little bit. So I think it's going to be fun. Cahoots?
Yeah, I'd say cahoots might fit that one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They've been in cohorts. That sounds funny. Yeah.
But we're actually going to have Michael Goodman and Dave McCraw on the show from Sentrance, along with Harlan.
That's going to be
great because, you know, Mike's been working hard on pushing the Mixer Face, and we saw his videos and stuff, and they're going to talk about all the features that are on there.
Yeah,
and maybe Harlan will let them get a word in edgewise. So we'll see what happens.
We kid because we love.
We love Harlan.
And Harlan never watches the show, so we can say whatever we want.
That's right. He hears it. Did you hear what they said?
Maybe one of his minions will get back to him about that.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, thanks, Harlan, for sponsoring the show week after week after week after week.
Yeah, thanks,
and thanks
man.
For having the great stuff that you have. All right. All right, so I think that's going to clean things up for tonight. You guys stuck it out. I stuck it out. You realize right after this, they're going to discover that I'm actually not conscious. My wife's going to come in here and just sort of like roll me out of here on the chair.
Exactly.
Man, traveling west is not a problem. Traveling back east in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird one.
That's pretty rough on you. It is.
It is. And it used to be, you know, you used to be able to go out and party and talk all weekend. Suddenly you hit 56.6 and you can't handle it anymore.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen. But I still go do it because it's still fun. But it was also fun because we got such great stuff done. So it was a great weekend. And again, thanks to Dustin and the crew in Las Vegas. Vegas is a fun place.
It is.
Gotta go there.
It is. Yeah, well, that's all I gotta say.
All right. Let's see what else we got. Well, we gotta thank our donors.
We got a couple that just popped up.
I know Martha Kahn,
sustaining donation from Martha. One from David Smith.
Wow, great!
Thanks, you guys.
Right. If you want to help support the show, I mean, we gotta pay for Ustream. It doesn't come out of nowhere.
And the more live viewers we have, the more it costs.
Yes.
So. There's a direct correlation to the popularity of the show.
Yeah. And they actually write to you and say, you know, you're pretty popular.
I know. They love to play on your ego, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, Eric Aragone. We got another one from Don Griffith.
Great.
Man, I mean, you guys have been really generous. Shelley Avellino.
Oh, I met Shelley this weekend. What a great gal.
Jeffrey Chambers.
Yeah.
It just goes on and on. There's Eric again.
He never stops. It's pretty good.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah. And speaking of donations, we are working on a T-shirt.
Yeah.
The idea here is
it's controversial, though.
Well, yeah. There's we don't know how everybody wants a different design. This I should have just put it out there and said, "Here's the shirt."
Here's the, well, that's what they're all saying. Just decide yourselves, guys.
Make up your mind. But anyway, we started it on the Facebook group and we told people, "Here's the design." I said, "What do you guys think?" And of course, well, that's exactly what I got. But once we settle on design, pretty soon we're going to do a Teespring. And the way that works is we'll have a limited number of shirts, and it'll be at a fixed price, and we will sell through that stock of shirts, and we have so many days to do it. It's time limited. In fact, we're only allowed to do it for so many days before they cut you off. So we're going to see if we can do a little pledge drive, if you want to call it that. I don't know. We don't want to call that, but we're going to do that for the month of May. And if we sell enough shirts, we'll hit our goal. You guys will get your shirts and we'll probably make enough money to get a new computer for EWABS. The plan right now, anyway, sorry, Max, he's trapped in the airlock right now. the plan is that I'm considering is building a Windows computer, which sounds totally antithetical. I love trying to learn new words on the show. Totally antithetical to what we usually preach on the show, which is buy a Mac. But to have a computer that's custom designed for the needs of Wirecast, what we use for the show, is the goal. More power and the ability to do better quality, bring more elements in. That's the idea. So if we sell through those shirts, we'll probably be able to build one of those new computers. It's going to be fun for me, and we'll do it on the show. Heck, we'll show you guys the results.
Oh, that'll be an exciting hour.
we'll build it live. No, just kidding. That's a different show.
Okay.
But that's the plan anyway. So if you can help out, we'll have the news on that coming up soon.
Yeah. Anthony's asking, is our show streamed over YouTube Live, or it's just the recording?
You know, we did that one time as an experiment, and that's something I'll be able to start doing with this new computer. It just takes a lot more just sheer horsepower out of the computer to stream in more than one place. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that. We'll be able to stream on YouTube and Ustream simultaneously. We'll be able to bring in more guests. Our Google Hangouts will run smoother. There's a lot of things that are going to just work better once we have a little bit more horsepower to play with.
Right.
Well, a lot more horsepower.
Right.
So that's the goal. I was looking at the new Mac Minis,
which
are about 50% faster than what I'm using on the show.
Ones we're both using?
Yeah, which sounds like, 50%. But what it comes down to is the graphics cards. And the Mac Minis have very, very simple, basic graphics cards. I need something with some serious juice, so that's what we're going to be looking at. So EWAB show over at youtube.com, youtube.com/EWABS show is where all the content is ending up.
Absolutely.
And there's playlists and stuff,
right? And eventually we're going to get to the EWABS essentials.
Eventually, we want to do it, but man, this is like
one extra thing.
Is the crazy time. Is this not the craziest time of year? Right after tax season, things really start to seem to fire up, but we've been a little bit crazy. If one of you guys is kind of interested in dabbling in video and kind of, I'd be happy to train somebody on, the process to create an EWABS essentials. I'd be happy to do it for you if somebody wants to learn.
Yeah. That was one of the things that we were actually talking about this weekend.
Yeah.
In some private conversations that, a lot of you guys out there who are in voiceover, you really need to learn some video skills.
Mm-hmm.
It not only does it help you with understanding what it is that you're doing when you're working with a director or a producer, something like that.
Yeah.
But it's a great creative outlet. I mean, you can see the fun that I have with it and that George has with it. And
yeah.
Of course, he's doing it live. Nothing more creative than that. It's fun stuff to do. So I would take George up on that if I were you.
If you're on Windows, I'll do it too. If you're on Mac, all the better, because I'm more familiar with the Mac software. It'd be a lot faster process. So Mac preferred, but we'd love to have someone help with that. It's not hard to put one of these episodes together. We've got basically a template, and we can get you up and running quick. So we'd love to get that going. And thanks to Jack DeGolio, who's doing these awesome show notes that are time-logged and hot clickable. So if you're in YouTube and you see the show note or the comment below and you see a time, you can click on it and it'll jump to that point in the show.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Jack was doing a lot of photo bombing over the weekend.
Oh, he was?
Oh, he was. And there's a picture in Facebook of him mugging in the camera and it says, don't let him take your phone. He's just taking pictures of himself.
He's hilarious.
Great guy.
Funny.
Wonderful guy. Very wonderful
funny.
Guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. May 19th. Next week we've got, on the 12th, we have Harlan and the guys from Centrance. May 19th, we've been wanting to do this for a while. Because we finally got him. We said, the elusive. Doug Turkell will be joining us along with a bunch of other people. We're going to talk about marketing for voiceover, something we all talk about, but we're going to get the best of the best. And Doug is one of the best on the show and a round table to talk about it. And that'll be lots of fun.
And Doug's then on May 20th, and we're going to have some other folks too. We're lining up right now.
Right. And on May 26th, it's Memorial Day. So we will not be on that particular night.
Oh,
we'll be eating hot dogs and ice cream and stuff like that.
I will appreciate that.
Yes. Let's see.
Oh, in June, we bought something booked in June already. Okay.
Yeah. Colleen Marlowe and Deborah Diane from the Diane Institute. Now we're offering classes for new audiobook narrators and voiceover dialect classes. So that ought to be.
They produce audiobooks too, right? That's their thing, right?
That's their thing, yes. And of course, we need to thank our sponsors, Harlan. We love you, man. Voiceover Extra. And of course, our good friends at Edge Studio, like Noelle Romano.
That's right.
She was wonderful tonight.
Yes, she was. And Home Studio Man, Home Studio Master.
Oh,
voiceover,
yeah.
Home Studio Voiceover. What's your domain these days?
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com.
Yes. That's right.
Go on over there. The specimen cup awaits your audio for a free appraisal.
Yes, indeed.
And I'll tell you something. You know, we get those. It really helps to have somebody who knows what it's supposed to sound like listen to it. Because if you're not that experienced and think it's supposed to sound a certain way, as opposed to those of us that have been listening to it for 30 or 40 years, it really is essential to do that.
And so if you have dropped one in the sound check box on my website, let me just publicly say, I'm very sorry that I've been falling so behind. So if you've been waiting on me, drop it in Dan's specimen cup. Let him share the load, will you? Please, by all means.
Because I really enjoy doing it.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it too. I just, I have no good excuse for it. I will start catching. I have my laptop now. I've got a cool MacBook Air so I can work sitting on the sofa and outside on the patio.
Yeah, you noticed that the promo for tonight was shot on your patio.
Yes, it was. It was shot I'm having fun. I haven't had a decent, I've been using this Dell Mini 10, which is a great little computer, but way underpowered. Using this for like 6 years. So to have something powerful enough to do something like that, I'm having fun with it, gang. So thanks to Edge for getting that for me. And thanks to everybody that's been helping with the show, of course. Also, follow us, like us, we're not going to keep drilling it down your throat,
No, but we have to thank Catherine, our producer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we have to thank Jack, which we already did. Jack Golick, for doing the great show notes. And so continue to watch us, please, and support the show. But most important, especially after this weekend, thank our wives, and because they put up with all sorts of stuff. And, of course, the amazing Anthony Gettig for watching over the chat room with a cricket bat.
Right.
Making sure you guys stay in line.
Yeah.
And Lee Penny for some of his production assistance.
Yeah, Lee's been keeping us hot on the trail with the keeping our podcast
together.
So thank you, Lee.
Guys have no idea how much fun this show is. Even though I have no idea I'm even here, I'm having fun. So
it's turned into a bit of a content factory, hasn't it?
It has.
Hopefully good content. Well, hopefully it's not quantity over quality these days.
The quality is always there. You get like Noelle on who knows what she's talking about. It always helps. And we're going to continue to bring you the best and the brightest and the most eloquent to talk about this stuff.
Well, say goodnight. Good night, Gracie.
Speaking of Gracie.
Eloquent.
Let's get out of here. All right. I gotta get some sleep, kids.
Yeah,
and get back to it because I got stuff to do tomorrow. And that's voiceover,
life,
kids.
And work awaits.
That's right. So anyway, so we'll say goodnight. I'm Dan Leonard, back in the East.
And I'm George Whittam, still out here in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.